All right, here we are in the book of Acts, chapter 2. We're going to get into this about five words, and we're going to stop. That's as far as we can go, right? When the day of Pentecost came, what's that mean? Pentecost? You know, Christmas didn't come. They didn't have it like before Jesus was born, right? There was no Christmas until he came, and there was no Easter until he rose, and the day of Pentecost was already in effect. It was a holiday, and God says this, you know, We have to go all the way back, don't we? I won't go back to the garden, and we already talked about the garden in our prayer, but you got to go all the way back to the book of Exodus, right? Where the God's people are enslaved. They've been slaves for 400 years. And finally, after 400 years of slavery, they said, "We've had enough. Can you save us, God?" 400 years it took them before they reached out to him. They were finally broken. That's a long time, isn't it? After 400 years, they say, "Please deliver us." And God says, "I'll do it." Of course, he's got a sense of humor, right? He just doesn't send a big cloud and everybody get on the cloud. And he takes them to the promised land, the land of milk and honey. He sends an 80-year-old man who stutters. And as a shepherd, and they send him. And he goes. And he walks up to Pharaoh and says, "Let my people go." And of course, Pharaoh's like, "This is a free labor force. I can't let you go. A million people would let them go? Not going to happen." So, of course, God brings plagues on them to force Pharaoh's hand, acts of nature, frogs, and the river turning to blood, and boils, and the night time, and permanent night time, and the cows all dying. And finally, he said, "Just let my people go so we can worship." Pharaoh says, No, I won't let your people go. And then Moses said, "God's going to send the destroyer. You got to let my people go. He's going to kill the firstborn of everyone, of every household, Egyptian and of Israelite. Unless you do what I tell you, I'm going to tell you what to do. And you better follow my rules," right? You didn't follow them in the garden? Noah followed the rules, didn't he? He built that boat exactly the way it was supposed to be built, and he was saved. Abraham didn't listen to God at first and tried to do things on his own, mess things up. But when he finally listened to God and trusted him, he was given a son. You better do things the way I tell you. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to take a lamb, and you're going to slaughter the lamb. You're going to take the blood, and you're going to put it over the door. And the angel of death will pass over you. Pharaoh lost his firstborn son, didn't he? Now the people can go. And in the meantime, everyone gave them, all the citizens of Egypt, they gave them all their jewelries. And so they plundered Egypt. They gave them all their plenty of fabrics. They gave them all this wood, and they gave them everything. Just take everything and go. These 10 plagues were terrible. So they walk across the desert. It takes 45 days before they start complaining, right? "We want to go back. We want to be slaves again because we're hungry." And God says, "Well, I'll give you food." And it falls from heaven, doesn't it? Every day. Every day there's always plenty. Don't save any because tomorrow there's going to be more. Manna falls from heaven. They're thirsty. Moses walks up to the rock, strikes it, and everybody drinks, right? So the 50th day, where are they? They're finally at the mountain of God. Mount Horeb, we call it, or Mount Sinai, you know it. And there they are, all the people gathered around it. God was leading them in a pillar of fire during the night and a pillar of smoke during the day. They followed, they kept their eyes on God, and they went all the way to his mountain. Now it's 50 days after the Passover. 50 penta, right? You know that? And what do they get on the 50th day? They get the law. We love laws, don't we? We love when our neighbors obey them. You know, don't come on my property. But if I need to go on yours, but we need the law, don't we? Do we love the law? Depends, right? And well, you know what happens when we break the law? There's a consequence. And we want our neighbor to be punished, don't we? They broke the law. We want justice. And so does God. So he gives us 10 rules here. He says, God speaks these words to the people, and they all hear it. And he says, "I'm the Lord your God. I brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I got some rules for you here in Exodus 20. You should have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an image in the form of anything in heaven above or on the earth below or in the waters below. No graven images." Look around. Do we have any here? No, we don't. "You should not bow down or worship them. Because I'm your God. I'm a jealous God. And I punish the children for the sin of their parents to the third and the fourth generation of those who hate me." I'm a jealous God. Oprah Winfrey says, I can't worship a jealous God. Don't you love that your God is jealous for you? If I look at another woman, my wife gets jealous. That's a good thing. If I see a man talking to her, oh, no, I won't know. That's not allowed, Chuck, right? We're glad when we're jealous for other people. We're glad that he's jealous for us. He made us. He created us. He stitched us together. He gave us the blessing, and you're going to go worship something else? How dare you? And surely the people won't mess this one up, right? I'm right. Well, it's coming. It's coming. But he shows love for 1,000 generations to those who love me. To those who hate me, he'll punish for a couple, but for those who love me, forever. Don't you misuse my name. Don't curse my name. Remember the Sabbath day. Keep it holy. 6 days you'll do labor, and the seventh you shall rest. The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord. It's the Lord's day. And on it you shall do no work, neither you nor your sons, your daughters, your male or female servants, your animals, or any foreigner residing in your home. Don't work on the Sabbath. Keep it holy. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, he says, and all that is in them. But he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and he made it holy. Hear these things. This is in front of 1 million people. They're hearing this, right? God is on the mountain. They can't see him, right? Because he's in what? A cloud of smoke. You can't look directly at God, can you? Not with sin in your life. He says, honor your mother and father. And there's a condition, so that you may live long in the land your father, your God is giving you. Don't murder. Don't commit adultery. Don't steal. Don't give false testimony. Don't covet your neighbor's house. You should not covet your neighbor's wife or his male or female servant, or his ox or his donkey, or anything else that belongs to your neighbor. I love my neighbor's swimming pool. It's nice. It's heated. It's got stones. It's got a TV. Come on, I got a Walmart pop-up pool. It's kind of cool, but I like it. Right, Chuck? Kind of like yours. It's up above it. But we like it. But the neighbor's pool, heated. That's expensive. Verse 18, he's given the commands. Everyone's heard them, right? You hear, they come from God's lips to the people's ear, we got to remember. But when the people, they saw the thunder and the lightning and heard the trumpet and they saw the mountain and smoke, they trembled with fear and they stayed at a distance. They said to Moses, speak to us yourself and we'll listen. But do not have God speak to us, we'll die. They don't want to hear it for themselves. They want someone to intercede for them, right? You go. It's scary going before God, isn't it? Moses says, don't be afraid. God has come to test you, so that the fear of God will be with you to keep you from sinning. They've heard it from his own lips, his rules. They couldn't possibly break these rules, right? Couldn't. The people remained at a distance anyway, and they asked Moses, you go in front of God. God's up there, he's talking to him. He says, listen, you're going to have, I want you all to celebrate. I gave you some rules, but you also need to take time. Like yesterday, we celebrated a great day. Take a day aside. Celebrate the festival of the unleavened bread. That was at the Passover when they were in such a hurry to leave. He said, don't put any leavening in your bread. No yeast, just water, bread, and make it like that pita stuff, right? No yeast, no rising. Do this at the appointed time. Here he says, no one is to appear before me empty-handed. Never show up at a party empty-handed and say, right, bring something, a bottle of wine for the host or whatever. Never come before God empty-handed. And we're not talking about your tithes, are we? We're not talking about bringing your money today. What's he say in Psalm 51? Bring your heart. You didn't bring your heart today? You didn't leave it at home, did you? Are you contrite? You want to change? Bring that today. That's what he wants. Don't come empty-handed. Celebrate the festival of the harvest with the first fruits of the crops that grow in your fields. That's going to be 50 days after the Passover. Celebrate the festival, the ingathering at the end of the year when you will gather in your crops from the fields. Celebrate, he says. He's up there. Now it's just him and Moses are talking. And he's up there for 40 days. And the people are getting bored. Where is he? He's been gone for 40 days. We're impatient. We heard the law with our own ears, did they not? They saw it, God, through the smoke and the fire. And they're looking around saying, what are we going to do now? Is he gone? Did he run away? We know Moses has a brother named Aaron, right? Aaron does the talking because Moses doesn't speak so well. And so they gather around Aaron. They said, you know what? He's missing. He's with God, but we need something. We crave something with our own hands to worship. We see it right in front of us, but we still crave something. Let's make our own idol. Let's make our own God. What a good idea. Aaron says, sure. Let's do that. Give me your earrings. And they pulled the earrings out of their wives' ear because the Egyptians gave them all that gold and silver. And they took it and they built a great fire. Take off your earrings that your sons and daughters are wearing. Give them to me. And he took what they handed to him and he made an idol cast in the shape of a calf, fashioned with a tool. They said, these are the gods, Israel, who brought you up out of Egypt. These are the ones that saved them, right? This gold thing. Didn't they not see the 10 plagues, the sea, Red Sea parted, and they walked through and Pharaoh's army was swallowed up? Didn't they see it? Next day they offer sacrifices and fellowship offerings. And they sat down to eat and drink and they got up to indulge in revelry. We know what revelry is, right? Singing, dancing? Is that what it is? The Lord hears what's going on. He says, go down, Moses, because your people who you brought up out of Egypt, they're corrupt. They've been quick to turn away from what I've commanded them to do, and they made themselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. They have bowed down to it, and they're sacrificing to it, and they're worshiping it. God just told you he was jealous, right? Don't mess around. Moses says, I know these people. They're kind of hard-headed people. They're stiff-necked. God says, leave me alone. I'm going to destroy them all. I'm going to kill all the people. I brought them out. They don't worship me. They're not listening to me. I'm going to kill them all. Moses intercedes. He says, no, don't do that. What will other people say when all you did was bring your people out of slavery just to slaughter them in the desert? Don't do it. I'll go down there. I'll talk to them. I'll get things right. The Lord relented and he did not bring on his people the disaster. Moses is coming down with the two tablets, and you've seen it in that great movie, that Cecil B. DeMille movie, and he comes down, Charlton Heston, with the thing, and what's he see? It's worse than he thought. He comes down, you know what revelry is. What were they doing? Singing, dancing, and a little more. And he comes down, he's like, we can't have this. He smashes the Ten Commandments, he grinds it up into a powder, and he says, drink it. He makes them drink it, the evildoers. Then he gets a little army of Levites from his family. They get swords, and they go and they slaughter 3,000 people instead of them all. There was punishment, wasn't there? What were they doing? Singing, dancing? What were they doing in front of God, in front of his mountain? As he gives them the law, it was horrible. They lost their minds. Now Joshua heard the noise and the people shouting. He says, the sound of war down there. Moses says, no, it's the sound of singing. Moses approaches the calf. He sees the calf and he burns it up and he grinds it up and makes them drink it. Aaron says, what did these people do? And you led them. And Aaron says, don't be angry. Not my fault. That's what Eve says, right? When the snake comes along, the snake told me to do it. Adam says, she told me to do it. God's like, well, hey, no one's taking accountability. Aaron says, well, you know how these people are. What I did was I took some gold and I threw it into a fire and out came a calf. You believe that lame excuse? Oh. Then they gave me the gold, I threw it into the fire and out came a cow. Crazy. I know. So that's the first Pentecost. That's a day, huh? Not really fun celebrating that one. Destruction of the people, the disobedience of the people. The Holy Spirit comes down on this day of Pentecost. 50 days after the Passover, they're to gather together to celebrate the first fruits of the year, and the first fruits are dedicated to God. And so these people are gathered together. We saw last week on the Ascension Day that the angels said, Jesus said, stay around Jerusalem for just a little while longer. Trust me. And the two angels appeared. said, stay here for a little bit longer, for 10 more days. So there they are. It's a holiday. They're worshiping together. They're celebrating. And all these people were together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven, and it filled the house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated, that came to rest on each one of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit, and they began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. From all over the world they would come to celebrate the Passover. We know that they were taken away by the Assyrians, by the Babylonians, and by the folks up north, the Seleucid dynasty. And so the Jewish people were spread all over the world, but they would come together because God said so. Come for my Passover. Stay 50 days. Stay for the Pentecost. So they're from all over the world. They heard the sound, and this crowd came together in bewilderment because each one of them heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is each of us who hears them in our own native tongue? You see what's happening there? They come from all over the world speaking different tongues, but when they get together, they can understand each other. There's people from, their Parthians are there, and Medes and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia and Judea and Cappadocia, up there in Turkey and Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia in Egypt and other parts of Libya near Cyrene. Folks from Rome are there, both Jews and converts to Judaism. Cretans are there and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own language. Amazed and perplexed, they ask one another, what does it mean? What does it mean? What do some people say? They mock them, don't they? They're just drunk. They're just speaking garbled. No, they're understanding each other. They're just drunk. Peter stands up. He's emboldened now. We know just 50 days ago, he was the one denying Jesus, wasn't he? Three times, and now he sees his risen Lord there on the Sea of Galilee, there in John, the last chapter of John. He says, you're the one. You're going to leave my church. You've got to leave my people. Peter's emboldened. He's forgiven by the Lord. So he stands up with the 11. There's only 11, even though the Judas is gone. So he raised his voice, and he addressed the crowd. He said, fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain what's happening. The people are not drunk. It's only 9 in the morning. It's 5 o'clock somewhere, right, Chuck? But here it's 9 in the morning. No one's drunk. This is what it says in the prophecies of the prophet Joel. Listen to what the Lord says. In the last days, I will pour my Spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. It's not just going to be the prophets anymore. It's going to be all of us. The Spirit will not just be on men like Ezekiel or Jeremiah or Isaiah. It's going to be on all of us. Gentiles and Jews all over the world. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my Spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. One day the sun will be turned to darkness and the moon will be turned to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. Verse 21, here's what it says, folks. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. You see, in the bulletin when I told you, Psalm 104, they want us to cancel that last verse. We read it. Peter had a chance to do that. He could have just said, you're going to prophesy, but he also gives the end of the world scene, doesn't he? One day it's all going to end. One day blood, the moon will turn to blood and the sun will be gone. And what will we need then? We'll need to call on the name of the Lord. I stood before the district committee on ministry, and there they questioned me about my faith and if my understanding of Wesleyanism and Methodism and the rules and everything. And they asked me, how do you know you're saved? I said, because I've called on the name of the Lord. What's it say in the Bible? That's it. Well, how are you sure? I said, no. We don't do this. We don't do this to people. How do you know you're saved? Did you call on the name of the Lord? That's it. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. You know how many times I've said this? And I'm saved. And that's that. I'm going to heaven. That's it. I'll see Mom. I'll see Joe. I'll see Kay. I'll see them all. I'm going. There's no doubt about it. Any doubt with you? I know you don't have any doubt. Not a doubt at all, right? We're going. I'll see Hank. He'll be ordering everyone around up there. Heaven's going to be organized. Hank's there. Thank God Hank's there. Anyone. It's that simple. That's what we're doing here. It is that easy. Call on the name of the Lord, Peter says. You will be saved. It's been in the prophecy. God said this is what you do. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. This is what happened. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited to you by God by miracles, wonders, and signs. We saw them all, the feeding of 5,000, the walking on the water, the calming of the storm, the healing of the sick, the blind, the raising of the dead. He did this, as you know. But this man was handed over to you. It was God's plan that they'd be handed over to you. He knew it. With the help of wicked men, they put him to death by nailing him on the cross. But God has raised him from the dead, freeing from the agony of death, because it's impossible for death to keep its hold on him. And David prophesies this. He says, I saw the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, and I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my tongue rejoices, and my body will also rest in hope. Because you will not abandon me to the realm of the dead, you will not let your Holy One see decay. 2,000 years before, the Holy One will not rot in the grave. He will rise. He will be ascended to heaven, just like he promised that he would. He can't stay here. He has to go there. That's what the priest does with the sacrifice. Remember the ascension last week? Remember that one? You didn't forget that one, did you, Fran? I nailed that one home, didn't I? You remember? He fulfilled his promise of Exodus that he's got to go. He's got to ascend to the holy place in the presence of God. This day, too, is God making things right. In the garden, when we took the fruit and we disobeyed God, God promised something to Eve. He says, your offspring is going to crush evil once and for all, forever. And he came. He keeps his promises. And he says he's going to ascend to the throne room, and he did. You see, at the Tower of Babel in Genesis chapter 13, I think, there the people are building a temple all the way to heaven. And what do they say? Look at how wonderful we are. Look how big this thing is. If you don't believe it, they did it, go to Ur. There's a ziggurat there, which is about 12 stories tall. It's still there today. It's not a mythical place. It's a real place. But this was in Babylon. Let's build this place to our glory. Look what we can do. And what did God say? I'll show you. Look what I can do. I'll do something simple. I'll make you all speak different tongues, different languages. And the whole thing fell apart because they couldn't agree anymore, could they? They couldn't communicate. It all fell apart and they were scattered over the earth. But look what happens on this day of Pentecost. All the people from all over the world who speak different languages, what do? They come together to glorify him. It's made right. You see how he fixes the wrongs. We couldn't understand each other, but when we come together in the name of Jesus, in the name of God, in God's house, what can we do? We can understand one another. And what happens? He's glorified, not us. And 3,000 people were saved that day. Isn't that cool? He fixes everything. He says he will. It's going to take a while. It's going to take a few thousand years to fix things, but he comes in his time. Isn't this stuff cool? I love it. At the mountain of God, we couldn't approach God because he's a dangerous God. Fire is dangerous, isn't it? Fire is power. Fire is purity. We can't get close. But on that day of Pentecost, the fire comes upon us. And what's it give us? It gives us the Spirit. It gives us life. It doesn't harm us. It makes us better. It comes to bring us closer to him. The Spirit is with us. The Spirit was with God from the very beginning. We're there. When he created the earth, it was hovering over the earth. Now it hovers down upon the people. It's in us. Isn't something different when you have the Spirit in you? I got to admit, I don't have it all the time. I went to Walmart Friday night. The Holy Spirit was not with me. He banned me at the front door. He said, I'll pick you up when you come out. I don't know. Can I tell the story about the pizza place or not? Ugh. They're going to kick me out if I do it. But you got to laugh at life in Walmart. So we went to the funeral home, and we didn't eat dinner yet, so it's about 7:45. Where do you want to eat? Well, I don't want to eat at Wendy's, you know. That's not a good idea. So Frank's Pizza got a good review. right? You know where that is in near Northeast Walmart? So I walk in to Walmart, and the greeter's there. He's like, how you doing? And you know me, I talk to everybody. So I'm like, I'm doing good. How you doing? He goes, terrible. Franks went right through me. I'm like, oh, is it not good? No. We're not going to Frank's. I hope they do well. I hope it's good food. But man is like, do you know him? No, I never met the man. Why you do this? Because I don't even know him. God makes things all right again in his time. We need to trust in him and in his son, Jesus Christ, who is Lord. Pray for the Spirit to come upon us. The way we act differently when he's with us, and the compassion and mercy we show for one another. And we see it wasn't at the general conference. I don't think the Spirit was there. They decreed that God is not masculine anymore. What does Jesus call him? He calls him Father. He calls him Father. And that's what I call him when I pray. He's Father. He's my Heavenly Father. It's okay to have a Heavenly Father. We want that. We got earthly mothers who are just so wonderful. We love them. We honor them last week. But we got a Heavenly Father. That's it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your promise to make all things right, that all the things that we mess up, you make right again. We disobey you. We walk away from you, and you come running after us, saying, here's what you need to do. Here's the offering. It's my son. Take my son. Call on his name. You will be saved. You will not see decay. You will see new life, a new city, a new Jerusalem descending upon the earth, 1,000,000 years of peace. And we will walk with God face to face. The fire is not there anymore. It's gone. The cloud has been lifted. We will see our Savior face to face. We will be with all the saints before us. What a celebration it will be. These things will pass away. These bodies which are getting old and getting worn out will not be with us forever. We'll be with you. We called on your name, Lord, and we are saved. In the name of the Father, in the name of Jesus, the Son, in the name of the Spirit, which is all around us, each and every day, we all say, amen.